Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Thank you. While you're standing, I want to pray for the word. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. And we thank you, Lord, that you want to speak to us today, your body, your church, your family. And I thank you, God, that this is your house, your church, your home, and that you are the head and that you are building it. And so, Lord, as we open your word today, would you give us ears to hear and eyes to see that which it is? And I ask, Holy Spirit, let every word of my mouth fall to the ground. Let every word of heaven open up over our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can grab your seats. Thank you so much. Actually, this is the last Sunday before I head off. I've got a couple of weeks break, which I'm super grateful for. I'm heading to America, and I am very happy about that because every year I try to maximize this time of the year. It's their summer, our winter. I hate winter. And so I love to get out and get over to my friend's place over in Austin, Texas. And so next week I get to spend a week in Austin, Texas with a family that has friends that have become my family. You know, you meet those people, you might be sitting next to them right now. Or maybe you're about to figure out the person you are sitting next to is about to become your family in a whole nother way. But I literally met a family, and it's crazy. I had friends who knew them, and they just prepared a place for me to stay. I got there, I was given a key access to get into the house, made my way in, never met them, never been there before, but they opened up their home. And that family have become my family. And I've done my best to get there every couple of years. And it's beautiful to go to this incredible home in the middle of Austin, Texas, in the middle of summer, and enjoy it with them. But, you know, their kids have now had kids, and the family's expanding, and the family is growing, and their house is always full and warm with people. And I love it every time I go there. And the second week, I'm taking my 20-year-old nephew and we're heading off to another place where friends are at in Des Moines, Iowa. He's got a church over there, an incredible church called Eternity Church. And I'm going over there to be part of his building as they're rebuilding some different things in their space. They've got a whole new building. They've redone it all. And I get the chance to go and hang out with them. And I sent him a message and said, hey, listen, where is the best place I should stay? We don't arrive until 11:30 p.m. at night. Would you be okay if we just stayed at a hotel at the airport? And his reply was this: don't use an airport hotel unless you want bed bugs or rabies. Okay, all right. Why? Because there's a difference between a home and a hotel. See, a home is family, but a hotel, you're a guest. Home is a place where you belong. A hotel is where you visit. Family is a relationship. A hotel is a transaction. A family is growth, and a hotel is a small containment. Home is responsibility, and a hotel is very much convenient. But the Lord says today, my church is not a hotel, my church is a home. My church is not a hotel, but my church is a home. And that passage of scripture that we read from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, says that you and I are the members of the household of God. And a household is made up of occupants. It's made up of family members. And the Greek word here for household is actually means belonging to a house or a family, belonging or devoted to. Do you know, church, that you are a part of a new covenant family? Did you know that as a part of a new covenant family, that you are the community of Jesus, rooted and established in Him? Rooted in Israel, established in Him, constructed by Him, and inaugurated by the Holy Spirit. See, friends, John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13 tells us that you and I are the children of God. We have been given this right to those who believe in Jesus. You have been given a right to be a part of the family of God. Do you know how many people would give their right arm to be a part of a good family? I had kids all the time in my school that would come over and hang out at my house. It was a place to be. Everyone wanted to be there. Why? Because hope fills a room, peace fills a room, faith fills a room, love fills a room. And we have this privilege of being a part of the family of God. And Romans 8 tells us that we have sonship through the Spirit of God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. You'll see it on the screen. It says this in 14 to 17. It says, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the Spirit through bondage of fear, but you received it through the Spirit of adoption, whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs with God, and joint heirs with Christ, and indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together." Church, we are the family of God, brought in by the Spirit of God, an adoption in to the family. I used to work in residential care. I used to look after a lot of young people in care, and they would come. We would have this house. It was set up like a home, set up like a family. It had everything. But you know what? No one can make them be a part of that home. They have to choose to make it their home. I'm blessed that I was brought up in a family. I don't know what your experience is, but we can't let our experience dictate our theology. Because the Bible's clear that we are the family of God. And Jesus paid a price so that we could be a part of that family. And so we could be family to one another. And so as a part of that, we have this privilege of saying that we are the church, and we are the family of God. And that together as a church, the church is the hope of the world. See, the thing is, the church is not only a new covenant family and a community of Jesus, but she is the expression of God's grace and forgiveness to a world that desperately needs it. She is a friend of sinners. She is a hospital for the sick. She is a place of new wine. And she is the body of Christ and serving its members. She is the bride of Christ, and she is beautiful. And she is the temple of the Holy Spirit filled with power and glory. She's not an organization. She's not a building. She's not a religious sect, and she's not an obligation, and she's not a task for the Christian to tick off on a Sunday to say, "I went to church." She is majestic. She is loved by God. She is planned by God. She is arranged by God. And she is not perfect, but she is God's plan for the world. She is a place that people can call home, a place of encounter. Acts begins the picture of what the church looks like post Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and inauguration of the Holy Spirit of his church. And a new covenant people. And it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. You cannot force anyone to be a part of a family. You can open up the doors. We used to open up Resi Unit. I'd get knocks on the doors at 11:30 at night, 3 o'clock in the morning. Tap, 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 let me in. I'd have to let them in, even though it seemed ridiculous that they could be out that long. But you know, we can't make people be a part of a family or part of a home. Is dependent on you and I to recognize that we are sons and daughters, a part of the family of God, committed to one another. And this is the privilege that we have. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I love this passage because it says that God sets the members in place. God arranges and combines the body of Christ. I celebrate moments when we have people like Joel and Beck leave. Not because I'm totally brokenhearted that they are going, but you know what that means? They're about to go and be a part of another family of God that is going to be a blessing to somebody else. Because God arranges the body of Christ, not man. God arranged the members. He placed them and he put them where he wanted them to be. You know, it's crazy. We get this choice to be a part of the family of God and to be as connected as we like. I'm going to share with you just a couple of different things that I've learned about houses and homes and experiences and levels of experience. One of the things that became really clear to me is that you can be a front door Christian where you are casual, surface level, and you give everyone a superficial surface level of your life and they can see it from the outside. That's the person that comes to your front door, knocks on the front door, you say hi, you're happy to have a conversation at the front door, but no more. And they go. Then you've got the entryway kind of church people. You've got those who come in and it's friendly and it's public, and you only show the part of your life that you want to be seen. It's kind of like the exposure way. You walk into someone's foyer, hallway, entryway. Yours might be grand, mine is small. But you walk in and that's as far as you get. And then there are those who are content to sit at the kitchen. It's a place of connection. It's a place of close friendship. It's a place of meals. It's a place of being shared lives in deep conversation. It's more relational. I bring people to my house and they come over for dinner. I don't know about you, but I'm that person who goes to someone's house for dinner, and I'm deciding whether or not I really need to go to the bathroom or whether I can hold on till I get home. Is anyone else like that? Right? I have people come to my house and they sit there and I'm like, how did they do the whole night without going to the toilet? Like, they're there for 3 hours, 4 hours, and I'm like, sure their bladders weren't busting. But you've been invited into the table to have a meal. And it's relationship, it's connection, and it's one level of connection that enables you to be able to see some of the other parts of the house. And occasionally my guests will make it from the table to the lounge. Occasionally. If it's past 9 o'clock, no. I'm going to bed. But occasionally they'll make it to the lounge depending on their comfortability. I never force anyone. I can always invite them and say, hey, come sit on the couch, but they have a decision to make. And in the same way, we are faced with the same kind of thing. We can have superficial levels of relationship. We can have exposures of relationship. We can have relational, you know, getting there relationships, or we can have really deep personal ones or deep and sacred ones where it goes to the bedroom. I said before, my parents walked in on me praise and worshiping as a kid and felt so violated because it was my space, you know, like the bedrooms are a sacred place. And you know, my mom and dad had a rule in our house. When boys come over, you cannot go in the bedroom. That was a rule. When others came over, it was a free-for-all. We had parties in my room. We had girls. It was like five people sleeping in a little bed together. Like, it was just wild fun. And there were spaces and places that people were invited into our lives and into our family that made a difference in theirs. Do you know you being here is making a difference in someone else's life today? You being a part of the family of God is not so that you can come in, check out, and be done. Because we're called to be a part of His family that He is building. And the church is not something that you go to. It is a family that you belong to. The question is, have you found your place? Because there's more vulnerable places that the Lord wants to take you to and lead you to and lead you through. He wants the people in your world to see the mess. And He wants you to find a place where you can grow and become like Christ. Ephesians 4:13 says that we were to grow up in all things into Him who is the head of this house, the head of this church, and become like Christ. You know, my parents did a really good job with me as a kid, making sure that I ate. Every parent, if you've done that, you're doing well. They're going to be alive. That's good. But then there's a whole other level of what you eat. And so my parents made sure that I was not a malnourished child. My parents made sure that there was good food on the table. For my dad, it was always meat and three veg. When dad was away, it was pasta and spaghetti and different things that dad didn't like. But there was always food on the table to make sure that we were getting the nutrients that we needed to become all that we were called to step into as adults. And so we can't make you step in and grow and become like Christ, but we can provide for you. Programs, life groups, different things are going to help you grow and become all that God's called you to be. Actually, to make sure that you're not a malnourished Christian. Babes live on milk, but we're meant to eat the meat. But you get to decide how far you want to step in. And the thing is that you get to decide if you want to put roots down and grow. But it takes the family of God together to raise the children of God. The church is meant to be a place where we, you and I, can serve and contribute. I don't know about you, but I grew up in a family and it was like, you'll wash the dishes, you'll vacuum, you'll sweep, and you'll mop, and you'll do the things that need to be done in the house. Now, if you ask my mum, there may be in a few more times that we were asked multiple times, can you do the dishes? Can you do the dishes? Can you do the dishes? Yeah. Can you do the dishes? Can you do the dishes? But eventually, I started to value the fact that doing dishes meant that it was clean and tidy for the next person to come in. See, we're invited into a space, into the house of God, not just to consume on a Sunday, but we are called as the members of the household of God to contribute to what He's doing. The beautiful thing is that it doesn't happen without you. It takes a family to build and sustain and maintain a home. So can I encourage you? If you're not a part of a ministry, a part of a team, and a part finding yourself in a place of serving, that is the best way to get to know somebody in another team, in another space, and build friendship, build relationship, and build connection, where you go from the entry into somebody's home. There's a process that takes place, but you've got to be willing to engage. Friends, this is a place where you can serve and you can contribute. Now, some of you are sitting here going, well, I can't do X, Y, Z because of X, Y, Z, because I've got kids and this and that. And there's a whole range of different things. But do you know that there's more places to be able to contribute than just the Sunday even services of components? We've got to work and be on Saturday. Come, we'll put something in your hand, even if it's stickers to replace the bad stickers on the back of the chairs right now that keep falling off. But there's things to do to contribute and to serve in the house of God. Yeah. But maybe you're sitting here and you're going, well, God's blessed me with a business and financially I'm able to do X, Y, Z. God's blessed me with a trade and I'm able to do X, Y, Z. I have got this gift to be able to love on somebody. Yes. What is the gift that God has given to you? I got the team and Mark's going to get help me out. We're going to put out something for you today. I don't know if you've looked around at the house. In my house, we would often go through and clean out and clean up and wash and wipe. And if you look on the floor, the carpet is just over 10 years old. She's a little bit shabby. She's a little bit thin. She's a little bit festy in some spaces and places. And now that I've pointed it out, you're going to see it. And it's going to frustrate you as it frustrates me. You know, Nehemiah actually talks about this in chapter 10, verse 39. He does all the offerings, does all the sacrifice, does all the things to build this temple of God and says that we will not neglect the house of God. And you know, one thing that drives me crazy is neglect. Neglect of kids, neglect of family, neglect of a home, neglect of all of those things. And so I don't know where you are today and what you find yourself in. And maybe you can't come in and serve and usher and welcome and run, you know, do some stuff in kids ministry. Or maybe you can't find yourself on a barista and cafe machine and making beautiful coffee for those who love it. But maybe today you can give. We're about to launch into our 100-year celebration in October. And I have sat with Pastor Wayne and talked about this. And I've been working really hard with the team to actually get this household from a place where it felt like neglect to a place where she's whole. And we're seeing some stuff happen, and it's happening in the natural and it's happening in the supernatural. And today I want to invite you into this very opportunity. Maybe you are here. Not everyone will be able to, but some will. But maybe you can contribute to the whole auditorium and the walkways outside of this auditorium being placed with new carpet. Maybe you could contribute to the house being restored and no longer neglected. Maybe you've got something that you could bring or you could give. Maybe it's a small portion like a widow with a little mite, but she gave the others. Or maybe you're here and you're like, I could do that. I can make that happen. We've got team here. I'm in conversations with one of our members here in our congregation who is a part of his own business. He has a flooring business. And we're in conversations with him to get this all sorted out. But maybe, just maybe, you can contribute to that. On the screen behind me, you're going to see a QR code that'll enable you to be able to give directly to what we're calling the Carpet Project. If you use PushPay, it'll be there as one of the options that you can give to. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to see the house of God neglected. I want to see her flourishing. I want to see her winning. I want to see her raising up the next generation of kids, sons and daughters that would rise up in their full identity of knowing who they are. And you're like, Shree, how does the carpet make any difference? It makes a difference. Do you clean your house before guests come? It matters. And I want to invite you into that today, because the place that the Lord has called you to, the place that He has arranged you in, this church, this family, is a place where we can serve and contribute. This place is a place of healing, it's a place of deliverance, it's a place of salvation. You know what my prayer is? I've prayed over every single one of these tiles. And I've been like, Lord, let them, each one of them, represent a soul who we saved each weekend. God, would you begin to do something new that would exceed our expectation? Because the church should be a place of salvation. It should be a place of healing. It should be a place of deliverance. A place where people can experience the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. Acts 10:38 says that Jesus went about doing good, healing the sick and actually dealing with the oppressed. They should be delivered. And maybe you're like, I can contribute to that, but I can't contribute to that, or I can do this, but maybe you can be a part of our Sozo ministry, our healing rooms ministry. There are other spaces and places that the Lord's inviting you into to be a part of the family of God today. And what I can tell you is this, is that God's house will be a place where the sick will be healed. God's house will be a place where people are saved week in and week out. And God's place will be a place full of faith and full of vision. Matthew 28 is our great commission. I don't need to recite this scripture because you will know it. It's a part of our mission to advance God's kingdom across the nations. The Bible says we are to go, make, and baptize and teach. And I believe that the church is a place of mission and a place of movement, because you can't have a mission without movement. And I'm so grateful for the 100 years of mission in this church that has enabled many missionaries to go out to the nations. But I believe more than ever we are stepping into a season where God would reignite the church from a place of revive me and myself and me and my church to a place of revive our city. I'm believing that the city will be turned upside down, because it's not revival unless a city is transformed. We've been given this privilege to steward His house. And she's on the move. And if you're not, I need to encourage you to get up and come with us and get on the move. We had over 50 people on the street last weekend sharing the good news of faith to other people. People being saved, people being healed, people being delivered. Other churches were walking by and going, what is this? We had over 4 different denominations and 10 different churches gathered together to share this good news. And it was like children, hear me, children were walking up to people and sharing what the Lord showed them and leading people to the Lord. It's not for the professional. It is for the believer. It is for you and I. It is for the family of God. Why? So His family can expand. That's the only reason why He has not returned. He is only returning for a bride that is spotless and pure, but a bride that has actually reached her full potential and taken the good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth. A church that has lost its evangelistic passion is no longer the church, it's a religious club. Seriously. We cannot have a church that has a mission without any movement. We send teams out regularly with Pastor Kane doing local outreach. We have a high school outreach that reaches over 30 kids every week. And on a regular, there's been over 70 kids come through that high school ministry that happens before youth ministry. Why? Because we're on mission. We're not here just to consume and get what I can get from the Lord for me, myself, and I. I'm here to take what He revives in me and take it out and light it under somebody else and light a match and watch it burn. Friends, this is the family of God. Let me say this. She is a place full of joy and the Holy Ghost. Whoo! Romans 14, 17 says that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, they said of the old school believers in the day of Pentecost that they were drunk and full of wine. It felt like the Lord turned up today and we drank. And I'm telling you, this place used to be a humming place of the Holy Ghost, not just in one season, seasons gone past, seasons before some of you were born, seasons before I was born, there has been the Holy Ghost and joy. I said to my friend Barb, who's been here longer than most of us on staff, I said, Barb, do you know this song? We had a bit of a giggle, had a bit of a laugh, because pretty much everyone else we asked were like, vaguely. And I thought to myself, if Barb knows it, the church will know it. There's a few of you here, been around for a while. But do you remember the old school song? This is that, spoken by the prophet Joel. Hello, come on. All right, it's an old school song. So I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet. Church, I've shared on a number of different things in a number of different ways and spaces and places that you can actually lean into being a part of the family God, but I can't make you do it. No one in this church can, but we provide opportunities for you to connect in and make your way from the front door to the table, to the lounge, and into places and spaces that are sacred and deep, where we get into the mess and we grow. I'm going to invite you today to respond to actually what God is doing and what he's saying to you and what he's knocking on your heart. But let me say this, if you came in today and you didn't walk out with a sense of joy in the Holy Ghost, we're missing something. So I'm going to torture you today. And I'm going to try to lead you. I did ask my mad mate Joel to, if he remembered the song, and he conveniently, well, I'm not sure, but he's done. Brett knows it. Do you know how to play it? No. Nah. Ali knows it. Can you help a sister out? You can sing it? Well, you can probably sing it better than I could. All right, here we go. Can you give him a mic? That'd be great. All right, we're going to start it off. We're going to start clapping together, all right? This is that. Spoken by the prophet Joel, this is that. Fell on the day of Pentecost, this is that. God's pouring out today, it's so fine, it's so fine. God's new wine, this is that. Spoken by the prophet Joel, this is that. Fell on the day of Pentecost, this is that. God's pouring out today, it's so fine, it's so fine. God's new wine. Oh, Bob could have joined me. And it goes on, keep clapping. They were rocking and reeling on the streets of Jerusalem. People all thought they were crazy. They were having so much fun. I forgot the words. Drunk as you suppose, they're just very, very filled with the Holy Ghost. This is that, woo! Spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that. Fell on the day of Pentecost. This is that, yeah. God's pouring out today. It's so fine, it's so fine. God's new wine. Woo! Oh. Boy, I've done a workout. Can you feel the joy? Can you feel what the Lord is doing? He's doing a new thing with new wine. I'm so glad that I get to do this with you. I'm so glad that I get to call you my family. I'm so glad I get to sit in your homes. I'm so glad I get to see marriages restored. I'm so glad I get to see the next generation on fire. I'm so glad that the Lord is doing a new thing. Oh, Lord. Can the team come back and lead us in that love? That other song that was all good, jumping, praising. We're not done. We're not done. Can you feel it? Oh, I'm telling you right now, we're about to crack into our 100th year with this new sound, with joy, with absolute excitement and expectation of all the Lord wants to do. I'm telling you, if you thought the church's best days were behind her, you are lost your mind. The best days are in front of her. The best days are ahead. Hey, we've got the cowboy hat. I'm telling you, the best days are ahead. Hey. Oh God, I thank you for this church. I thank you that she's the bride of Christ. I thank you that she is beautiful beyond description. And I thank you she's filled up with members who are different and unique, but are called by you to be a part of this house. And I thank you, Lord, that as you have applied them, as you have set them in place, may they find their place and may joy erupt with expectation for the future days of the church. That God, you would come and have your way, and this church would step into her best years yet. That the city would be changed, the city would be revived, the city would be transformed by the Holy Ghost. So come on, we're singing this today, goodbye yesterday. I'm living in the light of a new day. Come on team, let's do it.